Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Glorious weekend in Milwaukee. Joe Biden on the ground giving a hell of a speech. Even backslapped the hecklers. You know, even the idiots should have their say, apparently,
Don. Everyone has a right to be an idiot.
Well, something like that. Well, let's talk about the former idiot in chief, Donald Trump. Dom, he got a legal win of sorts. Felt like sort of a fixed justice circumstance. One of his own appointees approved to the federal courts after he lost re-election and ruled unqualified by the, what was it? Oh, yeah, the American Bar Association. They said she was unqualified for the role. And she, through some twisted sense of logic, has given him a reprieve, Dom. And in the meantime said, and FBI, federal investigators, DOJ, you can't look at the documents you've seized. So I know this was an important issue to you, Dom. Let's hear about it.
It is a little frustrating, but let's get some background here. Opinion piece, Paul Waldman, a Trump judge's appalling Mar-a-Lago order signals a grim future. I'll start it off here. Crudy, nutty, crazy, twisting the law into a pretzel, a poorly sewn together fabric of factual misstatements and legal BS. Laughably bad. So bad, it's hard to know where to begin. Frankly, any of my first-year law students would have written a better opinion. Those were some of the reaction from legal experts to U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon's decision to grant Donald Trump's request for a special master to review documents seized from the former president's Mar-a-Lago estate in August, in an August search that turned up boxes full of classified, secret, and top secret information. The request could push resolution of the case past the 2024 election.
Well, I think that's what they intended, right, Don? That's exactly what they wanted. It was really just a hurry up and stall.
This, that this judge would give Trump whatever he wanted was sadly not a surprise. She was appointed by Trump and confirmed after his defeat, but before Democrats took control of the Senate in 2021. We've come to expect that if that's how someone got on the bench, they'll likely show themselves to be a Trumpist political operative in a robe rather than an objective jurist. This is our new reality. Nearly every political controversy will include a vital legal component in which Republicans find a friendly Trump judge to grant whatever preposterous request they make, injecting the courts in place after place they have little or no business meddling. In some cases, writes Waldman, including this one, it might merely slow things down, giving the GOP time to press its advantage or avoid disaster. In other cases, it will give Republicans an outright victory on their policy goals or the procedures that help them win more elections. But we're now in an era in which the courts are more political than ever. Crudy, this is not an accident, and while it suits Trump perfectly, it was not his design. He was the vehicle of a transformation planned and executed by the Federalist Society, the wider conservative legal movement, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. The plan was not just to install as many conservative judges as possible, but to politicize the courts in an unprecedented way.
Dominic, that's why Trump appointees were qualitatively different than those of the previous Republican presidents. The Bushes and Ronald Reagan appointed lots of conservative judges, but they also tended to have substantial legal credentials. Even as they leaned towards conservative outcomes, they also maintained a foundation of respect for the system and the law, and they usually, though not always, had some shame, a desire to maintain a reputation as fair, an objective jurist. I almost had a laugh aloud the first time I read that, Tom. This is most assuredly not how the average judge appointed by Trump sees their role. Cannon's ruling is the latest example, but we've seen others before. Back in April, District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell in Florida issued a nationwide injunction ending the mask mandate on interstate travel on the ludicrous grounds that stopping the spread of an airport virus by requiring masks on planes and trains was outside the purview of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. How dare they? Right. How presumptuous. Everyone knew what was really going on. Mizell's legal analysis was inane, but it didn't have to be grounded in any reasonable reading of the law. All that mattered was she delivered the outcome Republicans wanted. Like Cannon, Mizell was confirmed after Trump lost the election. Like a number of Trump other nominees, Mizell was rated not qualified by the American Bar Association. But every Republican present in the Senate voted to confirm her. Conservatives and alleged moderates alike, they knew exactly what they were getting, and it was just what they wanted. The shift in the GOP thinking on the judiciary form from we want conservative judges to we want partisan hacks didn't start with Trump. You may recall that Republicans decided the extremely conservative Chief Justice John Roberts was a traitor because he didn't want to strike down the Affordable Care Act on the dubious grounds Republicans had offered in their many lawsuits against it. That's because they now have a basic expectation that if you're a Republican appointed judge, it's your job to nullify laws passed by the Democratic Congress and to keep Democratic presidents from carrying out their agendas. And if a former Republican president is under investigation for crimes, GOP-appointed judges make sure the law treats him with a deference afforded to no other suspect. This is our future. As long as Trump judges remain on the bench, in every election, every issue debate, every controversy, the first thing Republicans will do is prepare their lawsuits and start shopping for Trump judges that will be guaranteed to rule in their favor. And they won't win every case, and they did fail to get the courts to overturn the 2020 election. And even the right-wing supermajority on the Supreme Court will rule against them from time to time. But they got the judiciary they wanted, one dominated by hacks whose respect for the law will almost always yield to GOP partisan interest. And they're going to use it. Dom, I would point out, here in the state of Wisconsin, what is no greater crime than that of Brian Hagedorn, the former Scott Walker lawyer who was elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and has shown a little bit of judicial independence, right? Depending on the issue. I mean, he's still pretty damn conservative.
Right, dude.
But the greatest crime of any Supreme Court jurist in the state of Wisconsin, Republican elected, is to go against the party. Law be damned. It's all about the outcomes. And what about the last Wisconsin Supreme Court justice of some notoriety? We've talked about him quite a bit. The corrupted Michael Gableman. Do you have any doubt after his 10-year term on the court and you saw how he acted as the outside special sauce counselor? Do you have any doubt at the corruption at this man's core? Do you have any doubt what a partisan hack he was on the courts for a decade? And do you know how important it will be in the state of Wisconsin if we want any semblance of fair governance to win the court race next spring? And it ain't Hagedorn. It's not the judicial independent, pretty conservative jurist on the ballot. It will be a non-incumbent race. The chief, stolen chief, Patience Rogenstack, she's not running for re-election. She's retiring from the court. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. But we, the people, and I'm not talking about Democrats, I'm talking about we, the people, need a fair jurist on that court if we're going to have any sort of semblance of governance for the next decade. Because with the gerrymander here, dude, there ain't no fair legislative maneuvering. And the best we can hope for is a goalie and Tony Evers, right? And winning back the court.
That will be huge. 844-967-2789. Some other pieces out there about what's next, what the DOJ could possibly do. We'll get to that in a moment. In the meantime, let's get some callers at 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Aren't you being a little hard on Michaels? He didn't say handguns and hand grenades. I mean...
But pitchforks also and torches. Biden, what is the point of all that, right? I mean, this isn't saying let's go have a picnic.
I know. But two things. Biden over the weekend, or last Thursday, his horribly divisive speech, and then Trump with his speech. Okay, first of all, how is it divisive when you just point out what the man has said for the last 6 years, like as he came down the escalator, you know, these people are coming over the border. They're rapists and they're murderers and, you know, all the rest of it. But
and many good people, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm really surprised about this, guys. That speech that Trump gave, there's a part of it that nobody has gotten to, and it's, you know, he rambles on for 2 hours, but He mentioned, you know, Sleepy Joe and all the stuff he says. He mentioned that he had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg at the White House.
Last
did you
month.
See that?
Yeah, he claimed he had dinner at the White House last month.
Now, why is not the Democratic Party put that on a continuous loop? And whenever it's brought up that Biden might be a little light in the loafers, this guy... I mean, come on. This is crazy.
Well, crazy is about as good as it ever really got with Trump. I mean, that party have forgiven far worse indiscretions than a little misspeak from the campaign trail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The fact that he might have early or mid or late onset dementia, they don't hold that against Trump. Hell, the man's corrupt to the bone, and it's gonna can't wait to vote for him again.
You hear Trump rip on Joe Biden for acting exactly the way Trump just did. Oh, I just had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg. He came over to the White House the other day and kissed my ass. Told me you're number one on Facebook. It's like, dude, that was 2 years ago, man.
He hadn't even been on Facebook in 2 years. He's been banned since January 6th, right?
Well, that was Twitter, man. I don't know how long ago that's been. Was that also Facebook at the same time?
I believe he's been off the Facebook since January 6th of 2021.
But as far as he's concerned, that was just last week. I mean, what Looney Tunes, man?
Seems like just yesterday we were in college, though.
Yeah, it does.
Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Technically, we were at Joe Biden.
I am the law! I am the law!
That's amazing. How did you do that?
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
And taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Calls always welcome, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we've got an update on where's Mandela Barnes? The campaign. Apparently, Mandela has responded to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as to why he wasn't hanging out with Joe Biden yesterday. Sophia Voigt reports, a day after sidestepping an appearance with President Joe Biden at Milwaukee's Labor Fest, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said he instead went to Racine, where union members had been on a three-month strike. We were actually in Racine taking groceries down to striking UAW workers because they've been out there for about 120 days or more, Barnes told reporters Tuesday at a campaign event for organized labor held at the Hinterland Brewery in Ashwaubenon. That's where my priorities have been. Republicans called out Barnes on social media for missing the president's visit, while on Tuesday, Republican Attorney General candidate Eric Toney chided incumbent Josh Call for also skipping the Biden event. Democratic Governor Tony Evers, he was there right down. He gave, you know, a fine speech, shared the Labor Fest stage with Biden, who has a low approval in Wisconsin and nationally. Well, compared to Trump, not so low. Even though Barnes avoided being on stage with Biden, the state's lieutenant governor says he's really grateful that the president has shown support for the labor movement here in Wisconsin. He also showed a little support for you, Mandela. As we mentioned, when President Biden acknowledged Mandela from Laborfest yesterday, loudest cheer of the day. Barnes, who is challenging incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, marched in the Laborfest parade before Biden's arrival. As I pointed out, Dom, he was in Milwaukee marching at Laborfest. He could have been there. But anyways, but then headed to Racine to strike with unionized workers at the C&H Industrial Company. So I'm telling you, man, just say I had other places to be, but I'm not sure if you were marching with labor in the streets of Milwaukee and then went to Racine. Joe Biden's speech was done by 1 o'clock. You could have listened to it, right?
Yes, of course. Of course. You could have.
You think they listened to it on 5:40 a.m.
If the candidate wanted to be there, the candidate could have been there, right? I mean, there's nothing saying that he could not have made that happen. But then that was, ultimately their choice. Obviously, I disagree with it, but, what are you going to do? You got to keep on moving. And at least he wasn't, out golfing. He was literally out supporting
labor.
Labor. So good for him in that regard.
Do you think Ron Johnson was out marching with some union workers this weekend? Out there supporting labor?
I highly doubt it. I mentioned it yesterday, though, Crudy. I think it's worth at least a restating. Labor can be one of those things that bring people together. There are conservatives, obviously, in the labor movement. There's progressives and centrist Democrats in the labor movement. I mean, it's hard to argue with, safe working conditions, collective bargaining, representation, fair wages, those kind of insurance benefits, those
Scott Walker will make that argument against.
Well, you can make it. You can make it. But I think given what we've seen over the last, several decades and where we are at now, and as the younger workers now are organizing and very successfully so, I'm hopeful that that can actually be a coming together for different political ideologies around organized labor and around working families.
Well, as you mentioned during the big broadcast, the special event yesterday, labor, best opinion the American public's had about labor in what? Many, many years.
57 years.
Dominic, during the president's visit to Milwaukee, Biden criticized Ron Johnson on drug pricing, social insurance programs, and the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Ron was only involved for, a couple of seconds, no more than a couple of minutes.
And it was a peaceful protest. Very festive.
Yes. Barnes also jabbed Rojo during his campaign event with union workers Tuesday for not trying to persuade Wisconsin manufacturer Oshkosh Corp to place more than 1,000 new jobs in the senator's hometown. Right? Ron wouldn't go to bet for Osh Vegas, baby. Ron wouldn't step up for Oshkosh.
We have enough jobs. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's totally believable, but it's very disappointing.
Here's what Barnes had to say. Ron Johnson wants to make it easier for companies to offshore. He told the crowd, Barnes did, if he's going to send jobs to South Carolina, he'll gladly send jobs out of the country. In early 2021, of course, Don, we reported this on the air, Oshkosh Corp secured a multi-billion dollar federal contract to build up to 165,000 postal trucks, requiring 1,000 new assembly workers. And just months later, Oshkosh Defense announced it would not build the postal trucks at the existing Oshkosh assembly lines, but shift production to an industrial site in South Carolina. UAW member Tim Jacobson told the crowd Tuesday that Johnson had promised union members a meeting between him and Oshkosh Corp leadership in February. But here's a shocker, Dom. Rojo never delivered on that promise.
Weird.
Ron Johnson doesn't care about us, Jacobson said. He cares about his wealthy corporations like Oshkosh Corp. And don't forget the Uhlines and the Widow Hendricks. He's got at least three big corporations he loves because they're big donors, at least in two cases.
And Michaels are all about the working person, right? That's what they're claiming.
Hey, if you say something otherwise,
the working party or the working man, right?
If you say otherwise, I'm going to inspire people to take up pitchforks and torches and come to your house.
If I don't toe the line, if I don't kiss Tim Michaels' ass, he's going to threaten us with pitchforks and torches?
It'd be a long march from Connecticut, Tim. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It sounds like kind of a hollow threat. I'm just saying. Anyways, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We try to bring you nothing but the most relevant political experience we possibly can. I mean, hell, man, just this month. Well, I guess we flipped to September now, but just in the last 20, 30 days, we've been to a Trump rally. We broadcast live from a Joe Biden rally. Dom puff puff passed with some Trumpsters, some semi-fascists. And I think I saw two of you leaving the event together, Dom. You didn't get lucky with did you?
It wasn't the Trumpsters, man. I did not leave with the Trumpsters.
Just checking. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Don't leave yet. The show ain't over. You could be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
Where's Waldo?
I'm supposed to be in Fond du
Lac. Over here, Wenda.
Fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier 5 o'clock happy hour, the Tuesday hangover edition. Normally, I don't do day drinking on a Monday, Dom, but when you and I hang out and the president's in town and, you know, there's a couple of Trumpsters to hang out with and have a good time, what the heck? A little day drinking for all. Dom, I'm not going to give the man any credit, but I know you've been quite upset about this ruling. You know, the judge, the canon, that's the judge's name, this Trump appointee, the probably unqualified judge, the partisan hack that appointed a special master, at least said, we're going to pick one. Well, even Bill Barr, even you and Jim Santel's buddy, Bill Barr, called the ruling on the Mar-a-Lago documents deeply flawed.
Doubt.
I would guess they probably are. When Bill Barr's throwing you under the bus, it's probably bad. Dom, I want to turn our attention a little bit to a little press conference bomb thrown from Peter Ducey at the White House. You know, Ducey, the younger Ducey, not the foxy friend, but the one that's on the White House beat. And he's often asking jackassery and asinine questions of the president, or sometimes it's the president's spokespeople. But, you know, he's playing his partisan games, Dom. But he asked an interesting question of the press secretary. I found it to be interesting. He asked her if the 2016 election was stolen. He asked her that. And, you know, she deflected and said, we're not going to look back and da-da-da. I could give you the exact quotes. But I'm asking for my own edification, if you will, Dom. What about our audience? And I know people are listening. AM 950 listeners have joined. People KGOE all across the country, right here across the state of Wisconsin, WAUK, WTTN, WFHR, and WXEO, Bull Falls Radio. I know you're all listening. So here's the question, and I mean it in 98% sincerity. Was the 2016 election stolen from Hillary Clinton? Because some are going to say it was stolen from Bernie. And I might agree, but well, I'm talking about the general
election. Don't you have to define
election.
What you mean by stolen? I mean, define that.
I want the audience to define that at
844-967-2789.
Well, you think on that for just a moment. I'll give you a little the Peter Ducey. Fox News correspondent Peter Ducey asked White House Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre on Tuesday if she believes the 2016 election was stolen following criticisms leveled by President Biden against the GOP. Ducey was referring to a number of tweets Jean-Pierre sent around the time of former President Donald Trump's election, during which she suggested the 16 presidential contest and the 18 Georgia governor's race were not conducted fairly. So here is Ducey's question. If we're all in agreement that it is incorrect to say that the 2020 election was stolen, what about the 2016 election? She responded, we're going to focus on the here and now. We're going to focus on what's happening today. And then she turned around and criticized Ducey. Let's be really clear that that comparison you've made is just ridiculous. I was talking specifically. She apparently has a history on Twitter, Dom. I do not have a history on Twitter, not like you and Trump do. I back to quoting John Pierre, I was talking specifically at that time of what was happening with voting rights and what was danger of voting rights. As Ducey was setting up his question, John Pierre interjected, "Oh, I knew this was coming. I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question." So I ask you this question, Don. Was the election of 2016 stolen by any definition from Hillary Clinton?
No.
By your terms, no. By your framing?
No. No.
844-967-2789. Do you think we have ever left our fair audience? You fine people. Have I ever left you with the impression that the election was stolen in 16? That we have we ever advocated? I'll speak for myself. I don't recall doing that, but the short-term memory, nearly as bad as Tom's, a little bit better, but nearly as bad. I don't recall ever making that avocation on the air, but I know that I've talked to people that, oh, it was stolen from Hillary. It was stolen.
Well, okay. I'm just wondering. I think that's why definitions matter. Was the electorate influenced by James Comey? Yes. I think no question about it.
To the point of stealing the election from her?
Did the electorate then go and cast their votes, and the result of those votes were counted correctly, and therefore Trump won? I do believe that.
In 2016.
In 2016. Certainly that was an influencing factor.
But about the Russians?
Steal an election is
the Russians. Russia.
You vote for candidate A, and the majority do, and all of a sudden the candidate B wins. See, that's to me, is a stolen election. If my vote cast for my candidate counts to my candidate, and the sum result of all those other different votes accurately counted for whoever they voted for, well, that's the result of the election. That is not a stolen election.
Yeah, go tell that to Jill Stein. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys.
Was 16 stolen, Joe? I got to ask. I got to do the Peter Ducey. Someone's got to play the Ducey role.
You know, I could go on for hours on this in terms of what influenced what, in terms of Russian involvement in this and what was told to the Russians and how they were involved in it, and Comey and the newspapers, Les Moonves, all those other people who were just wanted a fun time, and Trump indicated a fun time and great ratings and screw democracy. This was just so much fun to have Trump. But I'm going to take it to here and now, which is, where are we in 2022? And the question that I want to bring up is, there was a guy in New Mexico today. He's a New Mexico court commissioner that just was sued by a group called CREW, C-R-E-W. They represented people of the New Mexico area in which that man held office. This guy is named Coy, C-O-U-Y, Griffin. He is the head of Cowboys for Trump, and he was at the insurrection and participated in the insurrection. And there he just got yanked from office by the judge that looked at this lawsuit that CREW brought in, the group nonprofit CREW brought in. And it was under the Section 3 of Amendment 14 that came in after the Civil War that said people are disqualified from participating in office if you've engaged in an insurrection, which he definitely had, proudly had. He was just removed from office. My question is, how might that affect the race that's happening in the 3rd District, which is Brad Pfaff, as I believe, who is running against, help me with this.
I don't, Brad Pfaff is running against Derek Van Orden. And Derek Van Orden is an accused insurrectionist who used his campaign funds, about $4,000, to go out and meet with some Republican legislatures and then, you know, do his duty as a patriot to try and overturn the peaceful transference of power.
Democracy. Yeah.
Here's the difference.
Right.
Never charged with a crime, not a crime related to insurrection. Now, if it's carrying a loaded gun through an airport, sure, he's done that. But the crime of insurrection, which is addressed through the 14th Amendment, Van Orden has not been accused or convicted. And you look at some of the other lawsuits. Our friend Kirk Bankstead at the Minocqua Brewing Company took up a lawsuit against Ron Johnson. Same problem. Tom Tiffany, same problem. We know that they were involved. We see the malfeasant behavior, but unless there's a crime and a conviction It's very hard, as we found out in the Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Madison Cawthorn and every other case of this sort, until a guy was convicted first, that you can't block him until they're convicted. But now he's convicted and he's off the ballot.
I don't think this guy was convicted, which is the thing that turns it around. He was convicted?
He was. In fact, we got the bestest of friends, Joe, and I appreciate you listening, but our good friend Jim Santel shared with probably me and Dom, I suspect, but sent me an article this morning and said sometimes, every so often, they get it right. He sent me the accounting here from Law and Crime, and then about an hour later, I saw the New York Times reporting something very similar. Judge disqualifies New Mexico County Commissioner and Cowboy for Trump's founder for having engaged in the January 6th insurrection. Well, let me read just a little bit into this article, Joe. In the first decision of its kind since the Reconstruction era, a New Mexico judge removed one of the state's county commissioners from office under the 14th Amendment's prohibition against public office holders engaging in insurrection. The founder of Cowboys for Trump, Coy Griffin, C-O-U-Y, not to be confused with any other Coy Griffins, was convicted earlier this year of entering a restricted area. See, he was convicted. So there's a criminal charge and a specific conviction on a charge where he basically is, this is questionably whether or not he was charged and convicted with insurrection. He was charged and convicted for entering a restricted area for his role in the January 6th siege at the U.S. Capitol. Griffin has fought since that time to preserve his role as a New Mexico County Commissioner, claiming he had a First Amendment right to protest President Joe Biden's lawful election. The judge, Francis Matthew, this is the New Mexico judge. Here's the irony in the ruling, as the judge points out. The irony of Mr. Griffin's argument that this court should refrain from applying the law, talking about the 14th Amendment, and consider the will of the people in District 2 of Ontario County, who retained him as a county commissioner against a recall effort, as he attempts to defend his participation in an insurrection by a mob whose goal, by his own admission, was to set aside the results of a free, fair, and lawful election by the majority of the people in the entire country, the will of the people, has not escaped this court. I think that snark on behalf of the judge in this case, Dom, and he has been post-conviction removed from his position. And I would say, quite frankly, you could be banned from the ballot, but first there would have to be a charge and a conviction. If Van Orden gets convicted of something other than, bringing a gun through the airport in an unrelated, back and forth to Cedar Rapids, I just wonder how he got through the first time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because he had the gun both ways, right?
Right.
Got caught on the return flight.
Just a bit more background on this from lawandcrime.com. Again, thank you, James Santel. Citing the whiskey insurrection and freeze insurrection of the 18th century, the judge noted that one need not succeed in overthrowing the government to have engaged in insurrection. Quote, the court concludes that the January 6, 2021 attack on the United States Capitol and the surrounding planning, mobilization, and incitement constituted an insurrection within the meaning of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the ruling states. The ruling said that Griffin helped mobilize and incite thousands across the country to join the mob in Washington, D.C., where he was a speaker on a multi-city bus tour organized by the group Stop the Steal. Applying these principles, the court concludes that Mr. Griffin engaged in the January 6th insurrection. The judge then turned to Griffin's actions on January 6th. The court concludes that Mr. Griffin's crossing of barricades to approach the Capitol that were overt acts in support of the insurrection, as Griffin's presence closer to the Capitol building increased the insurrectionist intimidation by numbers, the ruling states. Mr. Griffin's marching with the mob all the way to the inaugural stage, knowing the mob's insurrectionary purpose, likewise constitutes an overt act. The court's conclusions are consistent with how knowledgeable 19th century Americans would view Mr. Griffin's actions. He aided the insurrection even though he did not personally engage in violence. By joining the mob and trespassing on restricted Capitol grounds, Griffin contributed to delaying Congress's election certification proceedings. The constitutionally mandated proceedings could not resume until all members of the mob, including Mr. Griffin, were removed from the restricted area. Now, is this the first time, Trudy, that a court has found that this is officially now and is defined as an insurrection?
And certainly in the modern era, Dom, and the judge found that Griffin is constitutionally ineligible and barred for life from serving as a senator or representative in Congress, elector of the president and vice president, or from holding any office, civil or military, under the United States, under any state, including the current office as Ontario County Commissioner. Suck it, man. You insurrectionist, semi-fascist bastard. Come back. More Devil's Advocate. It's time for your calls. 844-967-2789.
The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle.
So you're stealing.
I gotta steal that.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got a troubling story to share with you and the audience. I found it at the Daily Beast, Politico. I often go to that as a political source. We often cite articles from Politico. It's under new ownership, and there is a story that is broken over at the Daily Beast, and I suspect other places. Politico's new owner invited colleagues to pray for Trump's reelection. To pray. This is the owner of a political, you know, web-based newspaper, effectively. But let me read just a little bit. The new German owner of Politico sent an email to his closest executives asking if they should meet up to pray for Donald Trump's reelection. According to a report, Axel Springer, CEO Matthias Dapfner, sent the message in the weeks leading up to the 2020 presidential election, according to the Washington Post, a year before his company's acquisition of Politico in October of 2021. Do we all want to get together for an hour in the morning of November 3rd and pray that Donald Trump will again become president of the United States of America, question mark, Dapfner wrote, inspired by an article about the Trump administration taking legal action against Google for abuse of market dominance. Dapfner went on to argue that Trump had made the right call on five of the six biggest issues of the last century, including pursuing peace in the Middle East, defending the free democracies of Russia and China, and falling short, and only falling short on climate change. He is quoted here, no American administration in the last 50 years has done more, he added.
What? Are you now, kidding me? How was his COVID response, dude?
Dominic, when asked about the message, Dapfner initially denied it existed, going so far as to say it has never been sent and has never even been imagined. When confronted with a printout of the email, he explained he may have sent it as an ironic, provocative statement in the circle of people that hate Donald Trump. That is me. That could be. Come on, man. You can't deny it and then say, oh, that's just my sense of humor. Let's go pray for Trump because he's right on five of the six most critical issues of our existence.
That's being provocative and sarcastic and an after lying about it. What? I mean, I've seen some rumblings about Politico from other like progressive Twitter people, and I really don't pay much attention to it. But that's certainly a little strange. But you know, ultimately, owners of websites and newspapers and magazines, they have religious and political beliefs. But it's just kind of ironic that when asked, right, if you're ahead of a journalistic publication of sorts and you lie about it and have to be presented with a printout of your own email, it kind of goes to the credibility portion of your page.
Dominic, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. 844-967-2789. I got one more from Let's Call It the Ironic File. This is very brief. A Pennsylvania man who breached the Capitol on January 6, 2021, has been turned in by his ex-girlfriend after he called her a moron for not believing the presidential election had been stolen. You're the moron. Was on Tuesday sentenced to spend 9 months behind bars.
Oh, damn, that's going to hurt.
Richard Machete, was arrested last February and pled guilty to one felony count of aiding and abetting obstruction of an official proceeding, according to the Department of Justice. Federal prosecutors sought an 18-month prison sentence for Machete, saying he was an active participant in the insurrection. Machete, they said, believed that certification of the 2020 presidential election was creating a civil war and had personally confronted law enforcement at the Capitol yelling, "We feed your family. We pay you." On Tuesday, in addition to the sentence, Judge Christopher Cooper also ordered Machete to spend 24 months on supervised release and pay $2,000 in restitution. He got off easy, Dom. 9 months in the big house, 2 years on paper, and $2,000.
He gave him the "you work for me" attitude. See how that worked out for you.
844.
Did you judge that too?
967-2789. If he'd have said that to the judge, I bet he would have gotten more than 9 months. Shay from Minneapolis, listing on KTNF, I bet. Welcome, Shay. What do you got for us?
Hi, Shay.
Yes, right. I would like to respectfully submit, gentlemen, that you got the question wrong. The question should be, has there ever been a free and fair election in the United States? We got to remember that until the 1960s, late 60s, blacks couldn't vote. And then knowing that now, disproportionately, the Republicans hold more office than they should, according to their numbers, because of gerrymandering, we got that. I'd love to hear a discussion of, a provocative discussion of, has there ever been a free and fair election in the United States? It'd really make an interesting discussion.
Well, I don't know if we can promise you a provocative, Shay.
Well, at least interesting.
Yeah. Well, that Shay. Might be a stretch as well, Shay. But
no, but that's a great point, Shay. Thank you for bringing it up. From that perspective, no doubt. From all the voter suppression laws and those people who could not vote, women, minorities, that kind of thing, over the years, no question.
But we have
an influence on voting. But the question is, ultimately, to my perspective, if I cast, or a person, quote unquote, legally cast ballot, if they are counted and they're totaled and summed, did they all go to the right person, and did that person ultimately win? That's my point. There's all sorts of malfeasance and issues, Shay, no doubt about it.
So effectively, if the vote tally after the election comes up with your preferred winner, then it's a good election, Tom. Is that what I heard?
As my definition of stolen, yes.
Okay, so stolen is when it's not your guy. I'm sorry, clarify that point.
Again,
I'm messing with you a little, Dom.
Okay, all right. Well, I know we got other callers here. I said it. I'll say it again. Stolen is if the person who wins gets the most votes doesn't win, that would be a stolen election.
So like Al Gore in 2000.
Sure.
He got more votes. Wisco Paul, any final thoughts? 1 minute, man. Stolen elections?
Yeah, I think there might have been some back in the day. I can't say for sure, but why would anyone... I don't care if you're rich or poor, who you are, want to live under Trump. I don't get it, and I hope somehow this guy comes to justice, but right now it seems like things are stacked, so that's my thought of the day. Why would anyone want to live? Because if he gets reelected, there will never be a fair election. So thanks, boys.
Thanks,
thank you, Wisco Paul. Thanks for listening. Thank you all for listening. You're the greatest people ever. Because you listen to the greatest radio show ever. Please do so again tomorrow. We'll do the Hump Day edition just for you.
When the rain washes you clean, you'll know.
Brain, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American.
You serious, Clark?
Hey, that's a joke, son. Don't you get it?